And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And alert the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine.
You look like the vermin-ridden son of a bitch you are.
A podcast for everyone in the good old USA and all around the world.
Over there, send the word over there.
Quality booze and country music at its best.
So you're saying, can you set my country music award on fire?
The music, nice and loud.
What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly.
You can email the show at bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com. That's bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com.
It's just swimming with bow-legged women.
All social media can be found at Boots and Whiskey Podcast. The show is great, even if you're sober. Well,
my advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Jim loves his music and his whiskey.
A real woman could stop you from drinking.
You have to be a real big woman.
This is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle. Great music, great booze, and fun, even for you non-drinkers.
Y'all want to drink whiskey? I'd like a Coca-Cola in a clean glass.
Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. As always, I am Jim, I am your host. I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of new kind of listeners here today, so just to kind of give you a rundown about what we do a show that is completely unscripted, there's no bullshit here, we have full-out conversations. If you were to go back and listen to any of our other episodes, you'd see that. It's strictly conversational, all about our guest. No real Q&A. We have zero interest in that. We just want to get to know our guests as people, as entrepreneurs, really whatever they're doing. And we really enjoy that. We don't want a cookie cutter show. We will never have a cookie cutter show. I say never, but I mean, if somebody came along and was like, hey, I'm going to give you $1 million a year, different story, right? But these episodes we're going to be doing these Whiskey Wednesday episodes, hopefully once a month going forward. At least that's my plan right now. I've had this dream or this vision to do these style of shows for, God, well over a year now, and I just didn't know how to execute it. But we're going to start today with our friend Ryan Thompson from the 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company out there in Vail, Colorado, and also a sponsor, partner, however you want to call it, of this show. So a big thank you to Ryan for that and his support with everything. You know, it's greatly appreciated. I guess you could call them the official whiskey of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. But I also don't want them to feel obligated to anything. So honestly, Ryan, thank you so much, and everything your crew and your guys and girls over there are doing, it's just absolutely fantastic. This episode, we talk a little bit about Ryan. We talk about how he got into things, and we also do a review right there live with him. It was absolutely a lot of fun to do that and get some feedback. And, you know, when it comes to whiskey, I'm not a whiskey connoisseur or a bourbon connoisseur from any stretch of the imagination. I say it all the time in the reviews we've already done, is that, does it taste good? Yes. No. I don't give a shit. I just want to be honest. Hey, I like this. Hey, I don't like that. You know? I say it all the time. We're not whiskey douches here. We, we just give straight out honest opinions from a regular everyday kind of person. You know, I'm not, I don't, I just don't do the whole, I smell notes of this, and, you know, I can smell the chocolate, or I can smell the this or that, or, you feel that, you taste that at the back. I don't give a shit, honestly. I'm not going to lie to you. That's just how we roll, you know, And, you know, we're learning the whiskey business as we go, and we're really super interested in it, and that's it. You know, we enjoy it, and that's all there is to it. So, obviously, with this first episode of Whiskey Wednesday, we did have some technical difficulties. You know, Ryan and I kind of joke about it throughout the episode. So if you hear cuts, that are like kind of out of nowhere, that's why. We were just having technical difficulties. We tried to blend it together as best as we could to make it coherent. But, you know, typically with this show, it is totally unscripted. Like I said, what you hear or what we do in the episode when we record it is what you get. And, you know, we've had some great success with that where, you know, it's raw, it's authentic, it's just a lot of fun. And this episode was also a lot of fun to do. So, Ryan, thank you so much for your time and your, you know, your love and support. We greatly appreciate it, like we said. So without further ado, everyone, I want to introduce you to our friend, the CEO and founder of 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company out in Vail, Colorado, Mr. Ryan Thompson. We want to give a big shout out to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts at 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. They have the best food, the best music around. You will not go wrong. Go to their website, offtherailswooster.com. You can see their lineup of shows. You can see their menu. You can see the local talent they have. Absolute fantastic people. We love being a part of the Off the Rails family, and we love having them being part of our family. Thank you so much to Off the Rails. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
What's going on, man? Thanks for being on tonight, my friend.
Oh, of course, dude. I'm glad we could connect, man.
Yeah, man. You know, this is a first for us. This isn't even, not even a kind of. You are the first guest ever that doesn't have something to do with the music industry.
Well, fantastic, man. I got a lot to do with the whiskey industry, and those things go hand in hand, so that's right. All right.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. I'm psyched. You know, first and foremost, I got to say a huge thank you to you for being such a huge supporter of what we're doing here and, you know, everything you've done for us so far. Like, it's huge. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Awesome, buddy. Absolutely, man. I like what you have going on. So it's all good, man. Likewise.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
So, yeah.
You know, this episode is going to be a lot different than we've ever done it because it's going to be, you know, your story and, you know, a little bit of a, you know, a taste test review kind of thing. So,
right.
I tell everybody in my reviews, you know, I don't have a, you know, what I call in some other people in the, you know, in the internet world call, you know, whiskey douche.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Neither, you know what the best part is? Neither do I. So,
awesome. Yeah. Like, you know, you could tell me, oh, this has, you know, hints of caramel and notes of chocolate. And I'd be like, great. Fuck. Does it taste good? Yes or no? Like,
I don't yeah. Care. Amen to that, buddy. I'm the same way. So that's all good with me. I'm dead serious, man. Everyone, I'm like, do you like it? Yeah. Okay, great. Then enjoy it. You don't like it? Then let's get you something different. It's all good.
That's right. So before we jump into what this stuff tastes like, tell me about you. Tell me how you got into this. Where, you know, what's your background? What is your story, Ryan?
Yeah, sure. Right. Don't know how far back you want to go, but I moved to the Vail, Colorado area in 1998 and I bartended around town for 4 years, living the ski bum lifestyle. And I was 22 then. So I moved here right after college. I was born and raised in Houston, a little time at San Diego State, then a little time at SMU in Dallas, and came up here as soon as I could. I would say I'm proud to be a Texan. I just prefer to live in Colorado. So bartended around town for 4 years and then had an opportunity to take over a restaurant space. So me and a couple buddies did that in 2002, and we just celebrated 20 years of that restaurant and the same two business partners there, and that's the West Side Cafe in Vail. And then about 10 years ago or 12 years ago, even I was watching what the craft distillery movement was doing and saw mimicking what the craft brewery movement was doing, but it was a few years behind. And And so I homebrew quite a bit, and certainly from my bartending days and my restaurant days, fell in love with whiskey early on in my, I guess, in 22, 23 or so, because I was bartending at a pretty high-end restaurant in Vail Village. And so I was had a chance to taste through a number of different whiskeys there. And that's when I first got the taste and the flavor for the brown water, so to speak. And so started home brewing, and then distillation's the next step after home brewing. So you make beer first, and then you distill beer off and you make a spirit. And I was like, well, hell, someone in this town's going to make whiskey sooner or later. Like, you know, might as well be me, I guess. So
yeah,
we ended up going out to Moonshine University, of all things, in Louisville, Kentucky. And that is, I was in their first class they ever did. They're 10 years old now, because it was January 2013 when I first went to that class in Louisville. And that's when I got hands-on distilling experience and knowledge. The first class, they call it Moonshine University. It's kind of a play on words. Their courses are 3, 4, 5 days long. Their first course is a 5-day week-long deal. And it's a hell of a lot of fun, but you learn a ton as well, and you make some great contacts within the industry. Came back and wrote a business plan and begged, borrowed, and stole as much money as I could. And so that was 2013, wrote a business plan, and started out with a 13-gallon still that a friend of mine made here in Colorado, just kind of on the underground. But now we're using a 500-gallon combination pot column still, 100% copper from Vendome. And we're lying down about a barrel of whiskey a day at this point. So and we're nine years into it. So that's a long story short there for you.
No, that's great. That's great. Yeah. I wanted to ask, because, you know, obviously I've done my little bit of research on you, because we have been talking now for weeks.
Sure.
And weeks. But where does the 10th Mountain name come from?
Yeah, so we're named in honor of the 10th Mountain Army Division. They're one of the most active military divisions today, been in all the major confrontations over the last 25 years. They're headquartered in upstate New York in a place called Fort Drum in Watertown, which is just a few miles south of the Canadian border and about an hour north of Syracuse. And a lot of people are like, well, hell, you guys are in Colorado. Why the hell are you guys named after an army division in upstate New York? But a lot of people don't know that 10th Mountain originated just a few miles south of our area in a place called Camp Hale. And they originated in the 1940s, and they were a mountain warfare specific army division that won some very significant battles in World War II. And when they returned, part of their training was learning how to ski, learning how to survive in the mountains, learning how to climb, rock climb, et cetera. And so they fell in love with the sport of skiing during their time in the 10th. And when they returned from World War II, they wanted to share the sport and the outdoor lifestyle with their friends and family. And in essence, started the modern day sport of skiing as we know. And they started over 62 different ski resorts across the country. And the ski resort that we call home, Vail, was founded by a 10th Mountain vet. Aspen was founded by a 10th Mountain vet. Arapaho Basin was. A lot of the ski mountains in the northeast there where you're at, I believe. And then a lot of mountains out in the Tahoe area as well. The National Ski Patrol was started by a 10th Mountain vet. Nike was actually founded by a 10th Mountain vet. So Phil Knight's business partner was a guy named Bill Bowerman, who was Phil Knight's track coach at the University of Oregon when he got back from World War II. The National Outdoor Leadership School, the Knowles Experience, was started by a 10th vet. Petzl Climbing Gear was started by a 10th vet. A lot of the shape of skis and the technology in skis and boots and bindings all were heavily influenced by 10th Mountain vets. And so,
Dallas Jackson here with Tipsy Music. Artists, are you tired of getting $5 to play Freebird? How are you getting fans to engage with your own music? Venmo and Linktree are just temporary solutions until now. Tipsy Music is the one-stop shop for live music to make your life easier and monetize your set list. Tipsy takes Venmo, Apple Pay, Google Pay, and even credit cards, all through your unique Tipsy QR code. Best part is no app to download, so fans can pay you quickly and get back to getting tipsy while watching you do what you do best. Sign up for free today at tipsymusic.com. That's T-I-P-S-E-E music.com, at Tipsy Music on all socials. Long live live music.
All right.
Now I'm blaming that one on me for some reason.
I think it's all good.
In the middle of nowhere.
No worries. Where'd you lose me there?
About the about the skis on the 10th Mountain Vets.
Sure. So the technology in skis and in boots and bindings were all heavily influenced by 10th Mountain Vets. And so we were sitting around that decided to start a distillery and make some whiskey in this town. And we were like, well, without the 10th Mountain guys, we wouldn't have our freedom and we wouldn't be skiing a great mountain. And so let's start a distillery and name it in honor to those guys and support the military as much as possible, not just Army, but all branches across the board. So that's what we set out to do. And that's our main goal every day. So
that's awesome. I love that. I love that.
Thank you.
You don't hear enough about that. I mean, in what we do, you know, you hear a lot about it, but you know, I think across the board, you don't hear about it as much as, you know, I think we should.
Yeah. And a couple stories along those lines, the 10th obviously knows what we're doing and they're extremely supportive of it. A lot of that reason is because we get a chance to share the history and educate people about the 10th Mountain Army Division on a daily basis when they come into our tasting room at the base of the Vail Ski Mountain or at our distillery, which is in Gypsum, Colorado, which is about 30 minutes west of actual Vail, a little lower rent district, a little west. So I had to put it down there. But we get a chance every day to talk about the 10th, and not a lot of people know the rich history that is the 10th Mountain Army Division. And there's a lot of influence around our area, not only on Vail Mountain, but certainly just south of us at Camp Hale, and all around town and all around Colorado. It's an honor of ours to be able to chat with people and tell stories and meet modern day tent soldiers. It's funny. One of my best friends these days, we met about 6-7 years ago, but he was, had just got back from deployment with the 10th, and he was out here on vacation and walking right by our tasting room. And he's looked up and he's like, wait, 10th Mountain Whiskey? I'm in 10th Mountain and I like whiskey. Is that my 10th Mountain? And he walked in. He's like, what the hell? Why are you guys out here? Because he was currently in 10th in upstate New York, and he didn't have a clue that they originated out here in the 1940s. So, and he and I we're super close buds today. And so that's just one story of how we get to educate people. And we really love having active soldiers, veterans of any branch come in and hang out with us. At our taste rooms, you'll find a lot of patches and challenge coins and different memorabilia that people have gifted to us. And so it means a ton to us. And then in return, we certainly give back to a lot of different military nonprofits, not only here in our backyard, but across the country as well.
That's awesome. I think that's incredible. You know, my grandfather was a Marine in World War II. So I kind of have I know it's a little different.
No, absolutely.
I have a special place in my heart for anybody that goes in and serves.
I'll
be the first to admit I never had the balls to do it. So.
Right. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. And yeah, we have two 10th guys that work with us. We have an Air Force and we have a Marine on staff. So on board with us too. So
that's awesome.
It's great.
I love when companies and small businesses, you know, do that sort of thing and give back to those who, you know, defended our country. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, amen, right? For sure.
So why, what made you pack your shit and go to Vail of all places?
Because I love the outdoors, I love playing in the mountains, and I love skiing a great mountain. So I graduated with a general business degree and kind of put a high price tag on my head on purpose in the corporate world, because I really didn't want to go down that road. And I really wanted to come to the mountains and hang out a little bit and see what happens. And sure enough, here I am 25 years later. So it's that easy. I didn't know a person in town at all when I first moved here. And I just wanted to come up and give it a shot and see what happens. So
that's awesome. That's great. Now, when you started doing, you know, started to still the whiskey and all that, what were you looking for? What were you aiming for, like, taste-wise?
Well, it's interesting. It's one of those things. I certainly had my favorite whiskeys out there and kind of knew the direction I wanted to go, but really didn't know how I wanted to get there. And so one of the instructors from Moonshine University, we've become close friends and lean on each other. And he's 65 years old or so, and he's been in the business his whole career. And so he certainly helped me direct me what direction I wanted to go. I'm a big fan of whiskeys across the board, but certainly lean towards bourbon, being here in the US. So, and then rye whiskeys at that point were starting to come around, and And I think the popularity of rye whiskeys has increased year over year over the last 10, 12 years. So our rye whiskey is certainly getting a lot of notice, which is nice. So I like a lot of people are like, hey, what do you typically like to drink? I'm like, well, shit, what depends what whiskey you're buying me next, I guess. Here's my cheeky answer, right? Yeah. I like bourbon. I like rye. I like scotch. I like Irish whiskeys. I like Canadian whiskeys. So you name it across the board. So, but certainly wanted to hang our hat on our whiskey expressions. We also make an American single malt and we make an unaged whiskey as well. So we make four different types of whiskeys, then a vodka, a brandy, and a cordial too. So seven spirits total.
Nice. That's awesome. Now, before you started, you know, before you, I guess, opened your doors, right? For the first time, how long were your barrels sitting before you bottled them and started to sell?
Sure,
them?
Right. Yeah, we came out with a pretty young whiskey early on, but we were aging the majority of our whiskey at that point that we were bottling in 5-gallon barrels, and so it would it ages or matures a little quicker that way. It gets a little more oak, and there's some different nuances, etc. But it's a way to get started and get out the gate. So it was a young whiskey. It was 12 months or so. And then we just recently released our first bottle in bond, so that's a 4-year 100 proof whiskey, and it's only for sale at our tasting rooms, but the majority of our whiskeys now are 2 and 3 years, and a lot of people are like, 9-year-old whiskey if you're 9 years old, and I'm like, because cash flow for one and supply and demand, right. So we got bills to pay, right? We have 15 full-time people that work with us, let alone keeping all the raw material flowing in so we can keep the whiskey flowing out. So early on, just get going. We were proud of it, certainly. We were excited about it and super proud of it, but it was a young whiskey. But now we're getting better and better as the days go on. So
that's awesome. Now, where are you getting your barrels from?
We now, the cooperage we're using is called West Virginia Great Barrel Company.
Okay.
And so they're a relatively newer cooperage, but they're state of the art. The barrels are super tight. They don't leak, which is really important for us, for obvious reasons, right? Now, we were using a company called Barrel 53 out of Missouri. They were great barrels as well, a great group to work with, but barrels are extremely hard to come by. West Virginia Great Barrel Company is a larger organization.
Hey everyone, don't forget about our other partner, the DCU Center, dcucenter.com. Go there for all of their things that are coming. They have concerts, they have hockey, they have indoor football, they have everything you would want for entertainment right here in central Massachusetts. Whether you're local or not, come and check them out. DCU Center, 50 Foster Street in Worcester. Check them out. You won't be disappointed.
Are you there?
Yeah, let's hope that this is the money load right here.
Is that on my side or your side or what's going on? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know because I have full service. I'm sure you have full service.
Yeah, I sure do. Yeah.
I have full battery life. I don't know what
that is. Yeah, I'm even plugged in here, so it's all good. Right. Yeah.
So the barrels, you were saying that the West Virginia company was really good. And
yeah, exactly right. So we're locked in with West Virginia Great Barrel Company. And so barrels are extremely hard to come by, especially for newer distilleries that are out there that don't have a business relationship with one of these cooperages. And so it's really nice to be able to not have to worry about where our barrels are coming from next. So thank goodness.
Now, are you reusing your barrels at all?
You know, we do a little bit, not to make our bourbon or rye because you can't reuse a barrel a second time, but we had an opportunity to start making brandy. So I've got a friend that has a vineyard in Monterey, California. He had a lot of Pinot Noir that we got and are making brandy out of. So we started doing that just about 4 years ago or so. And so we're able to, we distill that Pinot Noir off and then age that new make, distill it from the Pinot Noir in our used bourbon barrels. So that's one way we use them. We also have a collaboration with a maple syrup farm in Ohio, and they age their maple syrup in our barrels and then send it back to us, and it makes a great bourbon aged maple syrup. It's absolutely out of this world. And then we're doing a similar collaboration with a local honey farm here in Colorado. And then there's a facility called HATS. It's an Army station. It stands for High Altitude Aviation Training Site. And it's just a few minutes away from our distillery. And they train our helicopter pilots to fly in altitude. And so there's a number of soldiers that are stationed at that airport there. And so we've gotten to know them. They hang out at our place pretty much every Friday night. And so we've become close friends with them. And one of those pilots started his own coffee roasting company called Rotorhead Coffee. And so he's aging some of his coffee in our used bourbon barrels as well. And so a couple different ways to reuse those barrels. And then we'll sell the barrel heads or chop up the staves, give those out to different people that want them for barbecuing, or people who want the whole barrel for decoration around their house. And so there's certainly, and we work with breweries as well a bunch, do a lot of work with different breweries around the state. And so they're aging their beer in our barrels as well. So easy enough to get rid of used barrels. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, this story is fantastic. It's really cool how you've done this, and you know, you're really becoming, you know, it really have become, you know, quite the deal in the world of whiskey, bourbon, and
thanks, man. It seems like we were just starting it yesterday, man. It's a hell of a lot. It's a super fun industry. It's extremely supportive. You know, on the inside, like, everyone's very supportive of each other. But it's a big challenge. It's a lot of stress as well. So that means a lot for you to say that, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, no problem, man. Well, so if you don't mind, I'm going to get into tasting this stuff.
Yeah, let's do it.
And, you know, I saved this, you know, really just cause I knew I was going to talk to you. So the one I have here, the one you sent me, is from batch 67. It was bottled on March 6th of this year.
Yep.
So I have it open. I'm going to crack it open.
And that's our 10th Mountain rye whiskey you have there, right?
Well, I'm opening the bourbon.
Is that bourbon? Okay. That's the bourbon. Okay, great. Yeah. Got a good pop there. That sounds good to start.
These, you know, these bottles are hefty too. I like it.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it. Like, yeah.
You know, it's no bullshit here.
And so that's a 92 proof bourbon you're about to sip on there.
So when you say batch 67, I know, you know, I've seen things all over the place. Again, I'm not the technical guy. So explain to us what that means.
Yeah, sure. Right. So when we're batching together, so we'll take a couple barrels and combine them together. We enter the barrel at about 120 proof. And while it ages where we're located, we lose water out of the barrel. So water will evaporate. A lot of people refer to it as the angel share. And a lot of places they'll actually lose the alcohol, the distillate from the barrel. But where we're located, we lose the water. And so after a couple years of aging, there's going to be less water, but the distillate is still there. So the proof actually increases as it ages. So it's going to be 125, 128 proof. We have barrels that are even 140, 145 proof now. But once we'll take a couple barrels, combine them together, make sure the flavor profile is right. But the point I was getting to that when we dump barrels, combine them together, the proofs say it's going to be about 128, but then we use a reverse osmosis water to cut that down to bottle strength, which is 92 proof. And when we do that all together and put those barrels together and bottle that batch, that's what a batch is there. So,
yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So, all right. So I'm going to tell you this right now. I typically don't like bourbon. I know, sacrilegious, right? But this is smooth.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
You know, I'm typically a big, you know, my whiskey, my bourbon, my, you know, whatever on the rocks, and I don't even need it. I don't need it with this.
Yeah, exactly right. Thank you. It's and a lot of people come into our taste room, and a lot of people that enjoy whiskeys will try to make a snap judgment immediately before they even knows the whiskey, taste the whiskey. They'll try to make a snap judgment on how good it is when they ask how old is your whiskey. And
all right.
Are you there?
Yeah.
So cool.
Let's hope we don't get cut off in 8 minutes.
We'll see here. It's all good.
God, I feel like such an asshole.
No, no worries. Ain't no thing, man.
So yeah, no like worries. I was saying, this is, you know, like I said, I'm not a huge bourbon fan, and I'm not definitely not a huge, you know, neat bourbon fan. But this, dude, I could sip this all day long.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And a lot of people try to make a snap judgment on how good a whiskey is based on the age statement right away. And people will come to our taste rooms and ask immediately, hey, well, how old is your bourbon? I'm like, well, let us pour you a sample first. And why don't you tell us how old you think it is? And then they'll sip it. And they think it's, most of the times they're guessing a 4, 5, or 6 year old bourbon. And then they're surprised. I think what you have there is a 2 year old. And you have to disclose the youngest that's in the bottle, but there's probably a little bit of 3 mixed in there and possibly a little 4 as well. So, but a lot of people are surprised that it's as smooth as it is for 92 proof 2 year old bourbon. So,
yeah, you know, I'm going to sound like a total douche and I have no idea what I'm talking about, but when I smelled it, when I got it on the nose, it had almost like a wine scent like that.
Sure.
I don't know what that is. I've actually never have come across that in all the bottles I have here in front of me, but it's great. It's so smooth. Like,
excellent. Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. We'll take it. You know, I love hearing everyone's different descriptions on it. Everyone's palate is different, is what we say, and it's the truth, right? Everyone's palate's different, so everyone's going to pick up some different notes. And so you could be on a panel with 100 different people and ask people what they're smelling and what they're tasting, and you're going to get 100 different answers. Yeah. More than likely. So and there's the best thing is there's no wrong answer. So
Right. You know, that's how I see it. You know, I see reviews on bourbons and whiskeys and ryes and all that shit all the time on, you know, TikTok and everything. And everybody's got, you know, something to say about it. And then there's arguments and it's like, you know what? Do you like it? Yes. Do you not? No. All right. Well, who gives a shit?
You know? Yeah. I would say, all right, if you don't like it, wait till your in-law comes over and give it to them.
Right. No shit. Or, you know, right? When your in-laws come over, just keep drinking it because you'll like it by the time they're gone.
Yeah, totally right. Exactly. One way or the other, right? Or give it to your buddy that's coming over that doesn't appreciate whatever, right? But yeah, if you like it, great. But if you don't, there's, you know, move on to the next bottle. All good. No harm, no foul.
Yeah. I mean, so. Dude, my in-laws live with me. So I bury myself in my office quite often.
There you go. Huh?
So we're gonna jump over to the rye because, you know, like I said earlier, the rye is becoming really one of my favorites. You know, I feel like I've been going to ryes more often than not lately. So I'm super psyched to have this. You want to tell us a little bit about the rye?
There's one thing I have learned through all of these episodes we have done, especially with our guests in the South, Nashville, Texas, anywhere in those parts. Here in New England, we are missing Southern fare and hospitality like you can't even imagine. But right now, fear not, we have the Porch Southern Fare and Juke Joint up in Medford, Massachusetts, just a little north of Boston. If you're in the area or coming to visit the city, go check them out. They're at 175 Rivers Edge Drive. That's in Medford, Massachusetts. Again, check out their website, theporchsouthern.com. They have live music. They have the best food in New England. I'm going to just say it right now. The best food in New England for that Southern hospitality, that Southern fare. You won't want to miss it. Our friend Jonathan Post is the chef and owner of The Porch. Great dude. Glad to be working with them. Check them out again, theporchsouthern.com. Of course, we can't forget our friends at the Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company out of Canada. That's drsupplyco.com. They have great stuff. All of the hats I pretty much wear, all the camo hats you see me wear either on TikTok or in pictures and whatnot, all come from the Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company. A big thank you to those guys out there. drsupplyco.com. Check them out. Canadian company. Great stuff. Check them out.
Well, what do you think?
You know, I don't like the fact that I'm going to have to edit the shit out of this.
Totally right.
Now I have to blend shit together and oh my God. But anyway, so yeah, fantastic. We're moving over to the rye. Tell us a little bit about your rye.
Yeah, sure. So a lot of times, especially with newer whiskey drinkers, we like to compare rye whiskey versus bourbon by saying rye bread versus cornbread. So you're going to get rye whiskeys are going to be a little spicier. The rye grain is going to be a little spicier, certainly a little more complex. Our rye whiskey is going to be a little more full-bodied, going to have a little drier finish. Our bourbon is going to be a little sweeter, certainly a lot more corn notes. And so it just kind of depends what you prefer on your own palate, what you prefer taste-wise. Our rye whiskey is a little less octane. It's 86 proof versus the 92 proof the bourbon was. And so our rye whiskey certainly is our most awarded spirit. Our bourbon is our best seller. So,
you know, I all I can smell is caramel off of this, and I love it.
Yeah, nice. Good. Good. And then, yeah, well, certainly once you have a sip, it's going to be a little more complex spirit. You're going to get some graham cracker, probably some certainly the caramel in it, some baking spices, some allspice of sorts. So
yeah,
there's a lot going on with that rye whiskey there.
This is great too. This is really good.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah.
You know, I'm a big old fashioned guy.
Right.
And this is like the perfect old fashioned rye.
Yeah, that's my favorite cocktail, is the 10th Mountain Rye Old Fashioned. So that's my go-to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. I think I have found my new rye.
There's a bar down in Atlanta. They sell a ton of old fashions. It's a little speakeasy down in Atlanta. And they were using the same rye whiskey for years and then got introduced to the 10th Mountain Rye. And they're like, yeah, we're switching. Good job, guys. We're switching on the spot. Yeah, so that was pretty good feather in the cap.
This is fantastic. And, you know, for people that have listened to, you know, me and this show before, like, they know there's no bullshit here. And, you know, I'm not just telling you this because you're on the other line. If it's
sucked, right,
I'd be like, Ryan, this isn't for me.
I definitely appreciate the honesty one way or the other. So, yeah, I'm glad you like it.
I do. You know, good. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been like a bullet rye guy for the last couple of years. And this is killing that for sure.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a good bottle, isn't it?
Damn.
Right. Shit.
You know what sucks about this is, like, when I get bottles sent to me, you know, from places that I can't easily access, I don't drink them because it's like once they're gone, they're gone. But actually, I was just looking, and it looks like a couple of liquor stores not too out of the way from me have 10th Mountain. So,
yeah, we're getting some decent distribution up in your neck of the woods there. And then we can't sell direct ourselves, but if you go on our website, 10thwhiskey.com, we use a third-party fulfillment company that fulfills all of our online orders for us. You have to jump through the three-tier system to be fully compliant and all that federal and state liquor law stuff. And so we use a third-party fulfillment company. And so you can get it shipped direct to your door, at least to 35 different states around the country. So
how does that work?
Yeah. You want to keep this podcast interesting, or you want to bore everybody?
No, I don't give a shit. They can be bored. I don't give a fuck. This is my show.
Well, traditionally, so traditional distribution, three-tier distribution, the distillery sells to a distributor. Distributor sells to a bar, restaurant, liquor store, and then the consumer buys it from there. Obviously you can buy everything else direct to consumer via Amazon or online in one way or another. Alcohol is still governed by prohibition laws from 100 years ago almost. And so it makes it a lot more difficult. There are some workarounds now, but in order to do the proper workarounds legally, you can't have a distilling license. And so we don't have an opportunity to sell direct to consumer ourselves, since we obviously have a distilling license, manufacturing license. And so we're required to use a third party to ship our orders direct to consumer. So,
Now is that kind of like across the board? And, you know, again, we're talking industry and all that, because I'm sure you know by now, I'm not sure what happened, but Eric Church told Jack Daniels to go fuck themselves last week or the week before, and he's putting out his own stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And I looked into it to, you know, get a bottle myself, and I couldn't get it because of where I lived.
Right.
So how does that work?
It's tricky, right? And I'm not sure what Distillery Church has aligned with. And then, so I'd have to know that first and then see who they're using. So there's a couple different third-party fulfillment companies that are shipping high-proof spirits. Beer and wine is treated differently. You've been able to order wine to your door for 15 years or so now.
Yeah.
And the laws are slowly changing for spirits. And there are a couple, I think there's 8 states plus DC, when there are reciprocal states where if you live in one and you can buy spirits from a distillery in another one, as long as they reciprocate to each other. But the laws are changing. Maybe in another 5 years or 10 years, it'll look differently for distilleries. Then there's the different fulfillment companies will be fully licensed in different states. And so although the company that we use can reach 35 states, another third party company might only be able to reach, say, 22 states or something like that. So,
okay.
Yeah. So it's super tricky along those lines, and it's frustrating, not only for us from the distillery side, but it's extremely frustrating from a consumer standpoint as well.
Right. Right. Now I won't ask you on the air, but maybe I'll ask you through text at a later time on how I was able to get these, but we'll go
sure
later.
Well, no, I'll tell you right now, we used our third party fulfillment company and sent them through them.
Oh, okay.
So that's how we send out all of our sample bottles. And when we're gifting bottles, even friends and family, in order to be compliant, I ship them. We just, go through our third party company. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Because there's been times where, like, you know, we've talked to people and they're like, listen, we can't send it to you.
And I'm right.
Like, oh, okay. But then, you know, like I look into it and I'm like, all right, well, I guess it makes sense, even though all these other companies have.
Yeah. And the guys, like, if you wanted to ship a bottle of whiskey to your buddy in Texas or Florida or wherever, you could do it and you're probably not going to get caught, but it is frowned upon. It is illegal, even consumer to consumer.
Yeah.
It's done every day. Right.
Right. But right.
It's still, if a bottle breaks and then you get USPS after you or FedEx or something, well, you're pretty much out of luck. You can't claim insurance on it because it's illegal. So just make sure it's packaged right if you're going to do that. So,
right. I have a friend that lives in Illinois and she sent me a bunch of stuff. I mean, I probably should have said this on the air. And like one of the bottles broke and it was a bottle of Eagle Rare. And I was so devastated.
Lose you? You there?
God.
Oh, yeah, I got you still.
I'm going to just where I am. Don't breathe.
Right.
But yeah, so I was devastated when those bottles broke.
Right. Totally. Right. And yeah, and really you can't claim insurance on it. Maybe you could. I don't think you can, though. But yeah, you're always taking a risk. So it better be a good friend. Right.
Yeah. She was bummed. But yeah, whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's extremely frustrating. We're living in a world where marijuana is legal in the majority, a lot of states, and you can ship direct to consumer everything else under the sun, but even out other alcohols, but you can't ship a high proof spirit, which is just ridiculous. But those laws are changing. There's more pressure for those laws to be changing. So
yeah, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. So yeah, what else we got coming from 10th Mountain, or is what you have what you're going to do now for a while?
You know, I think we're pretty focused on what we're doing right now. So I mentioned our 10th Mountain brandy, that is about to be recognized by USA Today. I think it's pretty high up in the brandy world, which is going to be fun. That's going to come out in about a week from now when we're recording this. So, but it was recognized last year as one of the top 5 brandies in the country. And again, that was made from Pinot Noir grapes from Monterey Valley, California, which is kind of fun, aged in our used bourbon barrels. And then we have an American single malt. We started making that about 4 years ago, but we are slowly, for the last 2 years or so, you've only been able to get it at our tasting rooms. But we're starting to let a couple of our distributors get some bottles of that, super allocated at this point, but we're lying down more and more of that. And so we're going to start growing that brand as well in American single malts. Are the next big whiskey category coming around. So,
yeah.
And then just getting, just lying down more of our 10th Mountain bourbon and 10th Mountain rye whiskey. So And then again, we have a potato vodka. Vodka drinkers, there's 35% of the overall spirit market. And so if you're not a whiskey drinker, more than likely if you're drinking spirits, you're going to be drinking vodka. So I don't want to ignore that. And then we have a cordial as well, which is Alpenglow cordial, which is a sage peach vanilla cordial. So which is going to be a little sweeter. It's a great seller once people taste it. But the cordial as an overall market, think along the lines of Grand Marnier or Tuaca, something along those lines, Goldschlager, kind of on the sweetness side. So it's a smaller overall category. But once people taste our Alpenglow cordial, they're buying it. And it mixes great with our rye whiskey, actually. So it's a lot of fun.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, totally.
I can't wait. I can't wait to catch a flight to Colorado just to come in.
Please, absolutely.
Get all this shit that I can't get.
Yeah, exactly, right? And bootleg it back to the Northeast there, right?
That's right. So, why do you do that? Do you do that, you know, kind of as a, you know, as a marketing, I don't want to say ploy. I say ploy because, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, not necessarily, right? There's scarcity factor to just kind of naturally built into it.
Sure.
We're not running our still 24/7 yet.
Yeah.
But from 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, we're probably running it about 70% of the time. And we're privately owned. I own 100% of the company. I'm not a trust funder. I begged, borrowed, and stole as much money as I could gather to get this thing off the ground. We're 9 years into it, but it feels like a startup from yesterday. And so I don't have any big investors in my back pocket. I'm not raising $100 million like some businesses do out there. And so we're growing this on our cash flow and on a shoestring. And so it's a lot of what drives our business is our passion and our grit. And so, we can only work so many days and there are so many hours in a day, and I can't just go out and hire five more distillers and throw up another five different stills to start running, because I'm not bringing on a big ass investment either. So,
right.
There's scarcity built in. It's not a marketing ploy, and we're growing slowly but surely and lying down and just traditionally nature of the beast. This stuff needs to age. So our unaged spirits we can make today and sell it tomorrow in essence. I mean, it takes about a week for that process to happen with the fermentation process, the cook, the fermentation, then distillation. But in essence, we can make it today and make it this week and sell it next week. Our aged spirits, that takes a while for it to age. And so you just kind of have to slowly but surely grow this thing. So.
Yeah. Oh man, Brian, you know, I gotta tell you, and again, I'm not blowing smoke up your, tell you straight flat out, right? Out of all of the whiskey, bourbon, you know, distillers, you know, everything that we've come into contact with, like you guys and what you're doing out there, I can't tell you how much of this relationship that we are building are that I appreciate more than anything in this world. I'm not even exaggerating. Oh, hello? Did I lose you?
I got you.
Oh, yeah. Are you there?
Yep, I got you.
Sweet. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, totally, right? Yeah. Where I was going with that, I mean, it makes a lot of sense with, you know, country music and whiskey really go hand in hand, and so, or any kind of music for that matter, but certainly country music. And one of the things I often say, I mean, it's this business is stressful and it's challenging, but there's certainly a lot of fun in it. And I've met some great musicians, and I've been at some of the same events with some country music singers and musicians, and call a couple of professional musicians out there, close friends at this point, because I like their music and they like our whiskey. And so we're like, hell, we make a good team. So it's great.
Yeah. Well, you got to give me those contacts, bro.
Yeah, we'll do for sure. I was thinking about inviting one of my close friends on tonight, but I'll double check with him. Maybe I can introduce you guys.
Yeah. Next time. Absolutely. Love it. Would love it.
Yeah.
Ryan, you know, thank you so much for coming on. I know we've had some technical difficulties, and I thank you so much for for dealing with my bullshit.
Hey, no, that's why we got a little whiskey here, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So that's all right.
Actually, I wanted to ask you, I saw something and we shared it not too long ago about you guys coming to New England. What is it, next year?
Well, we're up there. We're distributed in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and New York right now. We're talking to a distributor in Maine and Vermont as we speak. So, we do have distribution up there, but again, it's one of those things where it just kind of takes some time to grow.
Yeah.
Distribution is the biggest challenge of it. But the good part is that we do have distributors in your neck of the woods up there. And then also we can sell direct to consumer via our third party. But you can just go on our website and buy bottles there. And we can or they can ship into the state. But it looks like it's coming from us. But they fulfill our orders to keep all the attorneys out there happy. So,
yeah.
But yeah, we're up there in that neck of the woods. And we have a full time guy that lives up there. And so he's working with our distributors and slowly getting the word out. So if you know of a good spot that we should be in or have a connection with a bar, restaurant, liquor store, VFW, golf course, class six or PX on any kind of Army bases, Air Force bases, or anything along those lines, then point them our way. We're always open to introductions that way. So,
oh man, just opened a can of worms. I'm not lying to you. I got some crazy connections. We'll talk. We'll talk.
Yeah, great. Absolutely.
Yeah. Ryan, I'm so happy. You know, we're going to I meant to do it last week, but I wanted to kind of do it at the same time of you and I talking. And we're actually going to – what's today? Today's Tuesday. We're actually going to release this for the next Whiskey Wednesday we do.
Okay, so great.
The next week. And we're going to also announce, you know, our kind of – our I think it's a little more important than that. But our relationship and our quote unquote partnership that we've kind of built and our agreements and all that. And, you know, we're going to make like an official announcement with this same when the episode comes out. So next Wednesday, this Wednesday, if you're listening on Wednesday, the whole world will know of our official quote unquote partnership. Damn it. Hello, Marco.
Man, we made it like 18 minutes that time.
I know. And you know what? This time I'm blaming the mountains. Fuck it.
too funny.
So I don't know how much of that you heard, but I was going to just say that.
Yeah, I think I got it all, right? That you're going to announce the partnership when this episode comes out next Wednesday, right?
Yes. Good. I'm glad you heard all that because I was like, I'm on my knees in front of you, bowing to you, and now you don't hear anything.
Yeah, I got you. That sounds great. And let's share the good word of 10th Mountain Whiskey up in the Northeast and have a good time with everybody. And again, a little whiskey, a little music, and that's a good way to go through life.
Yeah, man. You know, and you know what? I'm hopeful that, you know, with our footprint here and, you know, in other parts of the country now at this point, God, I hate saying that because it sounds so arrogant. But, you know, I hopefully we can help you push this brand because it's absolutely fucking fantastic.
Awesome. Thank you. That means a lot. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every bit counts. That's for sure.
That's right. Well, man, thank you so much. I just wanted to send the link back just to kind of, you know, end this on a thank you. And, you know, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you and 10th Mountain and everything you're doing. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us on, and look forward to the future and having some fun with you guys.
Same, man. Same. And any time you're up this way, let us know, and we'll get together, and we'll shoot the shit and
enjoy some whiskey.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, look forward to it. Absolutely.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you. Have a good night. We'll talk to you later. See ya.
Hey guys, I just want to tell you about this new app that we have partnered with Distilly. It lets you find local distilleries wherever you are. You can download the app on Apple and Android. Follow them on Instagram at The Distilly, THEDISTILY. You won't want to miss this. This is a great app, especially if you like the distillery thing. Check it out. it definitely beats craft beer by a million. Check it out, guys. Cheers.
Well, there you have it. Our first Whiskey Wednesday with a CEO, distiller, what have you, of a whiskey brand or bourbon or, you know, anything along those lines. Ryan Thompson from 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company out of Vail, Colorado. It was an absolute pleasure. I hope you guys enjoyed all of the snafus in there. You know, we had some good laughs about it. So a big thank you to Ryan for being a good sport about it. You know, it's embarrassing. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, this is a real show. This is a real honest to God show. And, you know, it sucks when shit like that happens, but it happens. You know, this is technology. This is show business. You know, things are bound to happen. And you know what? I'm super happy with the way the conversation turned out and being able to talk to Ryan about the bourbon and the rye. It's honestly, you know, I wasn't bullshitting Ryan. You know, this bourbon is fantastic. The rye is just as good, if not better, than anything I've ever tasted in my life. Like I told you, like I said in the episode, Bullet Rye has been my go-to. Now, 10th Mountain Rye is my go-to. It is, again, not blowing smoke. If I thought it sucked, I would have told him right in the episode. I don't like bourbon. I said it. I'm not a big bourbon fan. But this bourbon was smooth as butter. It's absolutely delicious. If you can get your hands on a bottle of the 10th Mountain bourbon, rye, really anything they have, do it. Do it. You will not be disappointed. So yeah, thank you, Ryan, for everything. You know, it's one of those bottles where, you know, I kind of talked about in the episode where like, I want to drink it, but I don't because I don't want it to be gone. But luckily enough for us, we can get it around here now. So I can just hop on down to the liquor store, pick it up, and, you know, call it a day. And I'd be happy to support those guys as always, you know, for supporting us. So that's it. You know, we're going to try to do this once a month. So, you know, big thank you to Ryan for kicking it off. I'm not really sure who we're going to have next month. We're kind of in the works with it. There will be somebody in June and July and hopefully going forward. We kind of have everything set up already. So a big thank you to everybody involved for doing this. And we greatly, greatly appreciate it. Now, for those of you that haven't listened to the episode we just put out yesterday, actually, we do have Cameron Marlowe coming to Off the Rails in Worcester, one of our partner venues. A big, big thank you to Off the Rails for everything they do for us as well. Again, Cameron Marlowe this Saturday night, May the 27th. It's Memorial Day weekend, everyone. Happy Memorial Day weekend coming up. Cameron Marlowe will be here in Worcester, here in Central Mass. So if you're local, come out, grab tickets, come out and see a hell of a show. I mean, hell, even if you're not local and you can get the means to be here, this is a small, intimate venue. You're not going to see Cameron Marlowe in a venue this small for much longer. So just do it. Come on out. Come on out to Worcester. You won't be disappointed. Great, great food around here. You know, great, great drinks, great. If you like, you know, local microbrews, IPAs, that sort of thing, we have a lot of great craft beers around here, some great craft distilleries as well. So come on out to Worcester. You won't be disappointed for Cameron Marlowe this weekend. We have our next, you know, regular scheduled programming coming out Monday on the Dirt Road FM. A big thank you to those guys. We broadcast our weekly episodes there every week at 8 o'clock Eastern. You get an abbreviated version of the episode, and then at midnight, the regular long form version of the podcast will be out at midnight. So Tuesday at midnight, Tuesday morning, Monday night, however you want to look at it, that's when those come out. So for those of you that have never been here, thank you so much for tuning in today. Follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. You know, we've got it all. We would love to have you be a part of this family as well. So thank you for tuning in. Remember, guys, here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, it's all about real people, real stories, real country music. You know, and now we're real whiskey, real bourbon. Love it. I love that we've been able to incorporate this finally, like I've wanted to for quite some time. So, guys, until next time, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass, y'all. Cheers.